Good morning. Welcome here this morning. My name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm just delighted that you're here. For all of us here, thanks for being here. It's a joy to enter into the presence of the Lord and worship together. And so a special welcome if this is your first time here. We're delighted that you're here. We've been spending our Advent season, which began last week, in a passage in the Gospel according to John. And again, we turn to the living word. Thank you. We turn to the living word in John chapter 1. And so I invite you to turn there with me. And if you're unsure, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you, and it's kind of closer to the back than it is the front. And you can flip through and find John chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 and then skip down from 9 to 13. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed into his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you know what this is? See, if I ask my kids that, what's this? Their answer, if my daughter were here, it's a tiger's secret weapon. Because when they see the tiger coming like this, they know that the tiger is going to find a child and stick his secret weapon in their armpit and begin to burrow in until they just squeal with delight. My kids, they love playing tiger. And you know, the tiger has a weakness, of course, because if you sing a lullaby, it puts the tiger to sleep so his secret weapon can no longer tickle you. And so there was this moment when my daughter and I were playing tiger. And I had her pinned down and I was tickling her and she was squealing with delight, just laughing. It was a picture of joy. And after this moment, I looked at her and I said, "Sophia, I love you." And she looked up at me and she said, "Dad, I love you more." You know where I'm going. You've maybe done this before. You've read a book like this or something like this. And so I look at her and I said, "You know what, Sophia? I love you more than you will ever know that I love you." And then she looked at me. She thought for a moment, and I could tell that her brain was processing something. And she looked at me. She looked me square in the eyes, and she said, "Dad, I love you more than me." Oh, 5-year-old girl. Ever since Sophia has been born, her life has been a light in my world. Her life has been a light of joy. It has been a light of beauty, a light of goodness, a light of grace. That's her middle name. Ever since she was born, her life has been a light in my world. And as I've reflected on that very thing, I've come to see that it's an echo of what we read about in John chapter 1. Because in John chapter 1, we read about God sending the light of his life into his creation. John chapter 1 is about the giver of life shining the light of his life into humanity. Oh, and there is joy when that happens. There is delight. There is goodness. Yet in our human experience, we know that our story isn't just a story of light and life. We experience light and life in our living, but our human story isn't simply one of light and life. There is also, sadly, darkness and death. It's a fact. It's a fact that we quite often want to sweep under the carpet and not face, but the reality is in our human experience, we experience darkness. We experience death. Now, we feel it. And maybe for some of you this morning, as I began with a story about my daughter, that brought to your heart maybe not something of light, but something of darkness. Because for you, maybe you've tried to have children for years, and you've been unable. Maybe you've conceived at various points, but you have lost the child to miscarriage. You see, we experience darkness in our life. For others of you, perhaps it's depression. That depression, it is a dark, unshakable cloud of darkness that you face in your life. For others, it might be relationships that you face. There are certain relationships, those whom you're supposed to be the closest to. But when you gather, there's a darkness. There's a difficulty. And the reality is, in our human experience, we experience darkness. And the truth of the matter is that we're all dying. I mean, we don't like to talk about that kind of thing, but we experience darkness and we experience death. But John chapter 1 is the story of the giver of life who shines the light of his life into our human experience of darkness. John chapter 1 is about the giver of life who shines the light of his life into the darkness, into the death, in order to eradicate darkness and death once and for all. It's a good story. It's a beautiful reality. And this morning, I want to invite you. I want to invite you into the light of Jesus this morning. I want to invite you into the light. I want to invite you to bring your whole self, your whole being, into the light of Jesus so that we might live out in our very presence this morning the story of John chapter 1. When the giver of life shines his life, his light, into our hearts and into our darkness and even into the death that we face, so that we might experience the life that God intended for us all along. I invite you to pray with me. Giver of life and light, we pray this morning that you would fill this place with the joy that comes when we encounter you. We pray for those who find themselves in a difficult place this morning. May you meet them. May you restore them. And for all of us, Lord, we just invite you to shine the goodness of your light into our life this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. This morning, I would like to address or ask four questions. First, what is the light that John speaks about? Second, I'd like to ask the question, why is there darkness? Third, what does the light do? And fourth, where do you need light? First, what is the light? What is this light that John speaks about? John 1:4, he says that the light is the light of all mankind. In verse 5, he says it's a light that shines in the darkness. In verse 9, he says it's the true light that gives light to everyone. What does John mean when he speaks of light? Well, verse 4 in our scriptures, I think it has the best description. It says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light. In Jesus was life, and that life, the life that was in Jesus, was light. And it was the light of all mankind. The life that Jesus has, the life that is in him, is the light of which John speaks. And now, if you remember going back about 2 months, we spoke a little bit about this, how when John speaks of the word light, he uses a specific Greek word. It's the Greek word zoe. The word he doesn't choose is the Greek word we could use for life, bios. Now, bios, it speaks of a biological life. It speaks about a life that we might think of in biological terms. And what we know from biology is that this kind of biological life, it's prone to decay. It tends to run out. It eventually leads to a withering, to a death. But John does not use this word to speak of the life that Jesus is. He uses the other word, zoe. And zoe is something much deeper, something much richer. It's something that covers over the biological life and takes us deeper. That the zoe life of God is the very life that God has. It's the very life that God is. I've met many people whose biological life is failing. But within them, there's something different. There's a living. There's a joy. There is something that could come only from the fingerprint of God in them. That's zoe life. It's what I believe we experience when I'm playing tiger with my kids. That there are moments when we feel so alive that we feel like there is a different kind of life pulsing through us. The zoe life of God. It's the image in which we were made. It's the thing we were made for. Yet we so often, we think of life in terms of this biological thing. In Jesus was zoe. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. What is the light? Well, the light is the life of God. That's the first thing. But we need to understand that light in and of itself, it has an action, right? Have you ever noticed that? When you turn a light on, the light has an action. It has an activity. You could say that light is missional. And its mission is to move out in all directions to push back the darkness. There's a sense in which when light functions as it's supposed to, it gives something. It gives something to the darkness. It gives light. And so, when we say, when we ask, what is light? The answer comes back. The light that John speaks about is the life of God, which is given to humanity. And when we speak about light in the scriptures, this is often the image we get of God giving life to his creation. Right? Do you remember in the book of Genesis, when God speaks life into being, what are the first words he speaks? Let there be light. Because light in the Bible is all about God giving his life to his creation. Not merely a biological life, not merely the bios, but so much more. The zoe life of God. So what is the light? The light in John's eyes is the life of God which is given to humanity. And with that understanding, we can ask maybe a different question. Who is the light? Well, it's Jesus. Because Jesus is the life of God that was given to humanity. It's Jesus himself. And so Jesus, in John chapter 8, he can say this. He can say, I am the light of the world. I am the life of God, which is given to humanity. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what God makes available to us through Jesus. So why is there darkness? Why do we experience darkness in our life? Well, I think darkness has three forms. And see if you agree with me on this. I think darkness has three forms. Darkness, in essence, is any time that we turn away from the light. Because when I turn away from the light, I'm no longer in contact with the source of the light. I'm in darkness. And I think there are three forms of this kind of darkness. First, darkness happens when I, as an individual, turn away from the light. Let me give an example. If I go looking for my identity apart from the light, it results in darkness. If I go looking for meaning and purpose in my life apart from the source of life who speaks to me about what the Zoe life of God is meant to be, I result in darkness. Because I begin looking for meaning and purpose and identity in the people who accept me. I find meaning, purpose, and identity in the job that I do or in how much money I make or the things that I have. But it doesn't take long before I get the feeling that I don't have enough. It doesn't take long before the people I seek acceptance from, they reject me. And you see, when we turn away from the light to find meaning, purpose, and identity in life, it results in darkness. It can hurt. But there's another way that as an individual, turn away from the darkness. Sometimes turning away from the light is simply rejecting God's leadership in our life. That when I reject God's leadership in my relationships, I live with unforgiveness. And when we live with unforgiveness, it's like a poison. That we live with these broken relationships and it taints our life. And it's not the way we're meant to live, it's darkness. When I don't follow God's leadership, when we don't follow God's leadership in sexual purity, we end up with a broken sexual self. When we don't follow God's leadership in other areas, like in our driving habits or in our relationships or at the staff office Christmas party or something like that, there's a sense in which when we turn away from his leadership, it results in darkness. It results in something that's difficult, that's not good, that's not the life that we were intended for. And so darkness results when I or you as an individual turn away from the light. But there's a second form of darkness, and that happens when someone else turns away from the light. You see, I experience darkness when someone gives the hurtful comment directed at me. Maybe you've experienced that. You experience a measure of darkness because of something someone else has done. They've turned away from the light. We experience darkness of this kind when we feel the scars. We feel the scars of a past where we've been abused by a parent. There's a sense in which their turning away from the light has left a deep scar of darkness. We experience this kind of darkness when certain people have to live under unjust social systems. Because someone else has turned away from the light. They are held in oppressive systems of government without care, without attention. It's a different kind of darkness. So first, darkness results when I or you turn away from the light. Darkness results when another person turns away from the light, and that affects us. And then there's a third kind that the scriptures talk about. And I call it the cumulative effect on creation. Romans 8 talks about it. Romans 8 tells us that all of creation is groaning for their release from this decay. It speaks about how creation is in bondage to decay. It's like we're in bondage to this life that continues to run down and run out. And all of creation screaming out, "Liberate me." What Romans 8 is talking about here is how all of creation has been tainted by people, generation after generation, turning away from the light. That all of creation has been tainted by this turning, even our bodies. And so we live with sickness. We live in despair. We live in death. And I wonder, do any of these ring true for you? Are you experiencing darkness these days because you've turned away from the light? Or perhaps because someone else has turned away from the light? Or maybe you're experiencing darkness because of disease, because of death that you're facing. Well, it's into this darkness that the prophet Isaiah speaks forth the promise of Christmas. When the prophet Isaiah says that the people walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The prophet Isaiah speaks forth the promise of Christmas, which John speaks into fulfillment as he writes, "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. His light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This is gospel. Do you know the light? What does the light do? What does the light actually do? Well, we're told in verse 5 that the light shines, and that it shines in the darkness. A physicist will tell us that light has two physical properties. Are there any physicists out there? Maybe, hopefully not, because if I get this wrong, then you're going to talk to me afterwards. But I think I remember this. That light has two physical properties. It functions as a wave. So it moves through air as a wave. Thank you, Nicole. I got the nod from Nicole there, so I'm feeling good right now. So and I'm doing the wave up here. How's that? Is that a little better? So light, it functions as a wave sometimes, but other times it functions as a particle. It appears as a spot on a wall or on an object. So sometimes it functions as a wave, sometimes it functions as a particle. Two physical properties. Well, there are two spiritual properties to light as well. On one level, when light shines, it reveals something that was hidden or that we didn't know was there in the first place. That's what light does. When you turn the light on, you see what you didn't know was there. Often, Luca, in the evening, my young boy, he'll wake up. He'll want a glass of water, or he needs his blanket fluffed, or I don't know, something. He needs me to adjust his eyebrows. Who knows what they want you to do in the middle of the night. And so often I'll have to get up in the middle of the night, and the trick is to get there as quick as you can, because you don't want him to wake up fully, because if he wakes up fully, you're hooped, and you're done. And so you know the path, you get up and you go as quick as you can in the dark to attend to his needs. Well, this one evening, not long ago, I heard him rustling, and so I jump out of bed, and at full pace, at full gait, I go to attend to his needs, and that's when I smack my foot against something on the floor that usually isn't there. And if you've ever wondered if a pastor swears, it happens, all right? I ask for your grace. And so when I attended to him, I came back and I turned on the light and saw that I had left a suitcase there on the floor, and I regretted it. See, when you turn the light on, it shows you something that you didn't know was there. And maybe for you this morning, as I speak about the light of Jesus, you're beginning to see something that you maybe didn't know was there. Maybe for the first time, maybe you've heard about Jesus, but this is the first time that you've heard about Jesus here. So that's what God does. He begins to reveal things that maybe we never knew were there. And for those of you who have been following Jesus for a while, I want you to know that I believe that there is more for him to reveal in your life. More for him to reveal about your own heart. More for him to reveal about the life he intends for you. More for him to reveal about the healing he wants to bring into your relationships and into your life. More gifts that he wants to empower you with for the glorifying of him. See, the light, when we open ourselves to it, it begins to show us things that we just didn't know were there. Oh, and that's so full of hope. But there's a second property of light, of course. Light, it also exposes. Light exposes the things that we know are there, but we'd rather keep tucked in dark corners where no one can see them. See, this is the painful property of light. because no one likes to be exposed. No one likes to be shown for the things that we'd rather have other people not see. We don't even want God to see the things that are tucked in the dark corners of our life. No one likes to be exposed, but here's the thing. Here's the hard part. We all need to be exposed. We all need the light of Jesus to shine into every area of our life. Because if we don't, we're not really living. If he is the source of life, there's no life apart from him. And if we don't allow him to shine his light into every area of our life, we might think that we're living, but we're only living biologically. We're not living with the Zoe life of God. And that's the hard part about it, is that the light that we need needs to expose the truth. Isn't that what John says a little later about John, about Jesus? That he is full of grace and truth? To live in the light is to participate in the truth. Isn't that a beautiful saying? Leslie Newbegin said that. To live in the light is to participate in the truth, and we need to step into the light. It's what we really need. See, the reality is for some people here, the road that you are walking turned away from the light, here's the hard part. There is no life at the end of the road that you're walking. Because there's no life apart from the one who gives it. The reality, the hard reality, is that a day might come when a life has been spent walking away from the truth, and a day might come where death comes. And we don't like to talk about this kind of thing. But I'm not talking about a mere biological death. That a day might come when we are cut off, shut out in the shadows from the eternal Zoe life of God. And I can't think of anything more painful than the thought of being shut out from the light of God once and for all. I can't think of anything more tragic. And the reality is that we need to live in the fullness of light. That we need to come into the light of Jesus, because this is the source of the life that we were made for. And you know what? Jesus, he has a way of exposing the things in our life that need to be exposed, where we don't go running for the hills. There's a story in John chapter 8 of a group of so-called religious leaders. And they bring this woman to Jesus, and they throw her at his feet. And we're told in the story that these men caught this woman in the act of adultery. Boy, that's quite the scene. I don't know what was going on there, but they find this woman, they bring her to Jesus, they throw her at his feet and say, Jesus, she was caught in the act of adultery. These religious leaders, they expose her in an unkind and horrible way. And so they say to Jesus, Jesus, the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? And as the story goes on, we read about Jesus, and he kneels down, and he begins to write something in the sand. And commentators, generation after generation, have tried to figure out, what is Jesus writing in the sand? Because the text doesn't tell us. I wonder when he was writing in the sand, he was thinking, how do I show them the light of life? And so Jesus gets up and he goes to these so-called religious leaders and he looks at them and he says, if any of you haven't sinned, go ahead, throw your stones. He exposed their hearts. And one by one, they drop the stones and they walk away. And then he goes over to the woman, and I imagine that he goes to her and he picks her up off of the ground as to restore her dignity. And he lifts up her chin and he looks into her eyes and he says with a concern, with a love, he says, where have your accusers gone? Does no one condemn you? And she looks back at him and says, no one, sir. And Jesus, then he says, neither do I condemn you. That's grace. That's how Jesus exposes us. Not like the religious leaders. It's grace. And then he says to her, now this life that you're living, it's not life. You need to leave it. You need to leave your life turned away from the light. That's truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He has a way of bringing us into the light where we are restored, not where we're debilitated. Do you know the light of Jesus? See, as I've reflected on this message, I realize that we as Christians, we have a problem. We have multiple problems. Let's be honest about that. But when it comes to the light, as Christians, I believe we have a problem because we have become adapted to the light. It's like our eyes have adjusted to living in the darkness. Sorry, we have adapted to the darkness, not the light. We've adapted to living in the dark. Maybe we're partly faced toward the light, but we're partly faced toward the dark. And so we live in this shadowy place where we're content living with this measure of darkness in our life. So in our private life, in our private life of sin, we might say it's no big deal. I'm not hurting anyone else, right? And we become accustomed to the dark. And in our relationships, we live with unforgiveness. We hold on to resentment. And we live out old dysfunctional patterns, and we're quite comfortable with them because we've grown accustomed to the light, to the dark. And in our social life, we as Christians, we turn a blind eye to the social injustices of our city and our world, and we say it's someone else's problem. See, there are times when we have just become comfortable. We've coexisted with the darkness. Leslie Newbegin has said, there is no peaceful coexistence between light and darkness. There is no peaceful coexistence between light and darkness because the mission of light is to eradicate darkness completely. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light and in him there is no darkness. And so to receive the Zoe life of God, we need to be turned squarely to the light. That there is no this. That this is what God is calling us to. So people of God, don't grow accustomed to the darkness. Because God has come to give us light and life. And it's a light and life full of joy and peace and hope and wholeness. So where do you need light? Where do you need light in your life? Where do you need Jesus to replace the darkness, to replace the despair, to replace death with his life? Where is it for you? Our Christian hope is that the light shines in the darkness. That's verse 5. We're told that this light, it shines in the darkness. Wherever there is darkness in your life, the light is shining. I want you to know that. Some of you need to know that because you feel in despair. You feel discouraged. You feel like your life is never going to change. But the light is shining. And he's inviting you to know him in new ways, in deeper ways. And here's the hope, that the darkness never overcomes the light. You will not be overcome. You will not be overcome when you turn to the light because you have the light of life, the light of Jesus. The story of the Bible is the story of our human darkness leading Jesus into the ultimate darkness, the darkness of death. But death couldn't hold him. Because 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He conquered death itself. We sing about this in the great song, In Christ Alone. I love that song. Do you remember the line that says, "There in the ground his body lay, light of the world, by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could never overcome him. Jesus wants to raise us to life with him in the light. This morning, will you step into the light with me? Will you bring all that you are, all of who you are, all of your living into the light of Jesus this morning? And if you will, I invite you to bow your head and pray with me. And I want you to picture the light. I want you to picture the true light that gives light to everyone in the world. I want you to picture Jesus. And I want you to picture Jesus, the light, the life, being brought to the darkness that you're experiencing in your life right now. Jesus, fill the darkness. Fill the darkness of your people. Fill it with your life. Be on mission to eradicate the darkness and bring us into the fullness of life. I pray that in the picture, in the minds of your people, that you would break things that have held them in darkness in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that you would bring hope to those who are in despair, that you would bring joy to those who feel like they're living in darkness. We pray in this moment, Lord Jesus, that you would bring new hearts to you for the first time. So shine on. We love you, Jesus.